This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want to talk about this play quickly in the Eagles-Bears game, the one that everybody was talking about, the completion fumble, and then the official picks up the ball, and then they go back to replay and say, yes, it was indeed a catch and a fumble, but because there was no clear recovery by either team, we have to go back and say that it was an incompleted pass. And everybody flipped out because, wait a second, you're saying it's a completed pass and a fumble, but now you're telling me it's an incomplete pass, you got to bring the ball back. I don't blame the rule. I don't blame the officials who called it because they called it right on the field according to the rule book. What I blame are players on both sides because this has been going on for years and years and years. And you see it every week in the NFL. Play similar to this. You don't know if it's a fumble or an incompletion. And a player will go and pick up that ball, sometimes run 80 yards with it into the end zone while people are blowing whistles and everybody's standing around. You have to go and get that football regardless if there's a whistle or not, just in case. And most teams do that. And the reason that we've never seen that before, and Terry McCauley's in the booth on NBC last night saying, I've never seen this before, is because players usually go and get the football. So a member of either the Eagles or the Bears, go and get that football, and your team has it right there. Yeah. And nobody did. So that's where the blame lies, not on the officiating, because they actually got the call right, and not on the rule. Because if the rule was the other way, then we'd be never, there'd be a bunch of fumbles that would never be fumbles, but, and everybody would be saying an incomplete pass.
The only reason, and Jerry, I'll let you jump in too. The only reason I believe, just from playing the game, that the players didn't go pick up the ball is, number one, the back judge is emphatically saying,
right,
incomplete pass, and number two, the whistles are being blown.
That happens all the time, though, is my point.
I know that's your point. I'm just telling you why I think. I'm not saying you're wrong. Believe me, don't get mad at me.
I'm not getting mad at you.
You're right. You got an opinion, and it's a very well thought out opinion. It's so awesome. You are Mr. Awesomeness.
I don't need any of that.
No, so now I'm trying to tell you from the player's perspective. That's all I'm trying to tell you, why they didn't go after the ball. And then now take it to the next step. You know, the way that they end up ruling it and where they put the ball, I think, is the only thing that they can do, because you cannot award the Chicago Bears with a completion. You just can't. You can't put the ball down there when it's obviously that it's a fumble to all of us. The other thing I will say is that, you know, even Gene Steratore and Austin both got a few things wrong again, not because they're wrong, but because they cannot put themselves in the conversation between Alberto Riveron and the head referee. They cannot. They don't know what those guys are talking about. All they can do is say, well, they can look at the video and say, this is what I think it is by me watching it. And the reason I say that is because the Chargers threw a ball to Austin Eckler in the flat.
Yep.
He's rolling around on his back. The ball has obviously broken the plane of the goal line, but yet they put the ball on the 3-foot line when it should have been on the 6-inch line, if in fact it was not a touchdown.
Yeah, so, I actually thought it was a touchdown.
On top of that, you have the Houston Texans touchdown against the Colts.
It was QT, Kiki QT.
Right, QT is reaching for the end zone, and you can't sit here and tell me that he had control of that football.
He fumbled it out of the end zone
when it broke the plane.
Remember the one with the Jets last year with Austin Seferian Jenkins? Mm.
Yes.
I mean, that one, to me, you want to tell me that that wasn't a touchdown and this one was? I mean, this one was a hell of a lot more clear-cut than that one was. I mean, I thought for sure that that was going to be a touchback.
I think it's one of the reasons why Al Michaels was lamenting the fact of that particular replay, because we had already seen the other previous replays that I thought were read wrong by Alberto Riveron in the replay review booth here in New York City. So, again, you know, the on-air officials that we have, and I think Gene is awesome. I think he's great at explaining things and why things happen and how they should happen. You know, even he, as good as he is, and even as good as Austin is, those guys even mistook what they ended up being or having had called on the field.
Right. It doesn't mean that they was wrong, that they
That's
were
what I'm
wrong.
Like, you're not wrong either. Right. I'm not saying like you're awesome.
Well,
you're
I don't need that. Awesome. I don't know why. I wasn't fishing for a compliment.
I know, but I think you thought that I was going against what you were saying. I'm not. I'm just saying that from a player's perspective, when they see a back judge waving incompletion and they're hearing the whistle at the same time, even though a lot of players are not conditioned that way anymore, the way that we were, I think that's what happened. I think that's why no player went after the ball.
Jerry is here with an update. What's happening, Jerry?
We're brought to you by the Ray Catena Auto Group. Schedule an appointment today at a Ray Catena Service Center. First-class service at affordable prices. Well, the football from yesterday is what's happening. Eagles-Bears will pick it up there. Prior to the field goal, we'll get to that in just a moment. You had a very big play as the Eagles had a first and goal, a second and goal, a third and goal, and then finally looking to score to take the lead, they would punch it in.
Holding will be the punter, O'Donnell. Far hash on the grass.
You moron,
for the
that's
lead.
Not it.
Ball put down.
Here's
right
the field goal.
Kick is up, end over end. And now he hit the crossbar after he hit the upright. He hit the upright again. He's done it all season long.
So that's Kevin Harlan on the fan on Westwood One. He hits the left crossbar, then the upright, then it falls down. And
no, he hit
the upright, then the crossbar, whatever the hell it is. To the left side and then the bottom part, and then it bounces off, and they lose. And this was after he had made it, but you got the timeout called just prior to the snap, and he went through with the kick, puts it right down the middle, and then he comes up to the left on that one. As it was heard in Spanish with Ricky Ricardo, if you would like to hear this. This was on the Eagles Spanish broadcasting, and Ricky is great, and he goes crazy, as you can imagine.
Pie de Cody Parkey. 43 yardas. El snap. Le mete el pie. Distancia, dirección. Le dio el poste. No, falló. Oh. No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. No, señor. ¡No, señor! ¡Los Eagles se van con la victoria! ¡Ay, papá! ¡No, señor! ¡No, señor! ¡Chicago! ¡Chicago! ¡Nos vamos para
mocking them.
¡Filadelfia gana el partido! ¡Le dio el poste!
There you go.
Oh, my God.
And then he got punched in the face by a Bears fan who climbed into the booth.
You know, the best part is of the field goal that doesn't go in is if you look at the poor people behind the goalposts, the faces. Oh, my God.
It's
just terrible. So the Eagles wind up winning 16-15. Here was Foles. The touchdown that I wanted to play but didn't went to Golden Tate. He says he let his receiver do his thing.
Really just reading body language. It's really, you know, there's two routes. Golden's primary. So it's really just let him win.
And while they did win, he knows they caught a break with Parkey missing.
Parkey's an amazing kicker. He's one of the best in the league. And I said it earlier, you know, he makes that 99 out of 100 times. We were just fortunate that that was the one he missed.
Right. Well, he did hit the uprights.
That's how you answer questions at the end of the game. That kid is so schooled on how to act after a game, win or lose, whatever. But I will say that that route that Golden Tate ran, man, that's how you run a route if you're a wide receiver. You never hear about wide receivers arguing about route running. So Steve Smith and Michael Irvin scream and yell about route running all the time, and that's the big argument between the two of them.
Yep.
Who runs the better routes, you know? Let me just tell you something. That route by Golden Tate was awesome. That was he hesitated and then went. And it gave Foles the exact amount of time that he needed to throw an accurate football for a touchdown.
Imagine Steve Smith. He annihilated Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. You know what? And I was with him on
that. On NFL Network yesterday.
I was with him on that. He's right. I mean,
100% right.
I mean, they were getting their ass kicked the entire game. He couldn't do a damn thing. Now, I know DeAndre Hopkins hurt his shoulder pretty bad and came back. It wasn't the same. But when you run for one first down, when you're sucking that bad at home, don't be mocking people on their sideline and dropping the ball in their face going first down. And Steve Smith, what I loved about what he said was, people are going to go back and say that you used to do that. And you know what? You're right. I used to do it. But I never did it when I was getting my ass kicked. And you can go back and look at every one of those films. And if I ever caught a big pass when we were getting crushed, you'd see me hand the ball back to the official, and then I'd go about my business. I mean, he was Deshaun Watson. That was about as disappointing as a performance as he's ever had. In that game against the Colts. Not to take anything away from the Colts, because they were awesome, and I think they're going to give the Chiefs a run for their money, but God, was he terrible.
Here's one more to wrap up the Eagles and Bears. Here was Parkey after missing.
I struck a good ball there, and unfortunately, I mean, I can't make this up. I hit the post, what, six times this year, and I hit it twice on that one.
And then you had, of course, your guy, Chris Collinsworth.
The Bears' season's going to end on a double doink.
And that's the way it went. Yep. So there you go. 12-4.
That's why they
pay him
the big bucks.
Out the door. The earlier game, Chargers and Ravens. So this was interesting. You had a fumble. Melvin Gordon fumble returned 102 yards for a touchdown, except that he was ruled down with instant replay. So on the next play, he would punch it in.
Fourth and goal inside the one. Two tight ends in this formation. Under center. Rivers on a give. Gordon takes the left side and knifes in for the score. Los Angeles adds to its lead.
Iron Eagle, Westwood 1 on the Fan. Chargers were comfortably in front in this game. You'll see the final score is 23-17. That's because Baltimore woke up in the fourth quarter, but not enough. L.A. advances with the 23-17 win. Anthony Lynn says, we suffocated them.
Our defense was outstanding. You helped that team under 100 yards rushing. No one's played that team the way our defense played them today.
And it worked out
for
them.
The last time they played them, too, they only held Lamar, I think, to 39 yards rushing, but about 150 overall. But so in this game, you had exactly what you're talking about. Melvin Gordon fumbles on the goal line.
Yeah.
And what's a
they
Ravens
played through.
Pick it up and run it.
Exactly. But I don't think right. The whistle blew, though. I mean, I watched it three times this morning, and if it did, you don't hear it on TV, or at least on the video, and there's nobody coming running in, you know, with the pointing that it's down, right. Down, plays over.
And remember that this play comes after the previous play that was under review, the one that he threw to Austin Eckler that I thought did break the plane of the goal line.
Was it Eckler that he threw to? I thought it was a.
I thought it was Eckler, was it?
I don't know.
Are we talking about in the fourth quarter's Crabtree?
No.
Are we talking about a different play?
It was Derek Watt.
Yeah.
It was the fullback, Derek Watt, coming out of the backfield on the previous play that was at the other end of the field because it was right at the end of the third quarter.
Right.
So he throws that ball to Derek Watt, who makes a great catch, and he's rolling. And before he's touched, it looks like the ball has broken the plane of the goal line, and they say no touchdown. And instead of putting the ball on the 6-inch line, they put it like on the 1-yard line.
And the one you're talking about, Jerry, with Crabtree.
Which they got right with replay.
They did. But yeah, initially they said no, he was short of the goal line, which also gave him a first down in that spot. But then when you saw it on a replay with that pylon cam, it was obvious he was in.
So Al, you should ask the CBS Sports Network folks if they can find that the TJ Watt catch out
or
of the backfield.
Derek Watt. Right?
Derek Watt.
Yeah. You just did?
Jesus. Let me ask them. They've got it on.
They're watching us, right?
I would love to see that replay of the, who's this, the Watt brother?
Yeah, the Watt catch.
Yeah, the Watt catch.
Yeah. Got that, Steve?
That'd be nice. Thanks, Al. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I thought maybe you had a straight line into, you know.
Well, no, faster than your line.
No, I'm the go-between. That was the proper, your people, me.
Right.
Spoke to their people.
Right.
And now we're getting it done.
There's a certain protocol that I like to follow.
I appreciate.
I don't want to jump over whatever your responsibilities are.
You did.
I appreciate
right
that.
Into the camera.
Okay.
Like the other protocol would have been this.
Hey, Al. Jerry's talking in the talk back right now.
Here's Lamar Jackson. So he threw for 25 yards for the first three quarters before he exploded in the fourth. So what happened in those first three?
We just played like we didn't want to be here. I did. Not my team. I feel like I played poorly.
And for a 21-year-old, he was being booed mercilessly, as you can imagine, in the third quarter, and a very mature answer when he was asked if it bothered him.
Nah, man. You know, still love the fans. You know, they're going to come fill up seats for us, man.
Yeah. So,
there you have it. Here's Joe Flacco. Should you have played there at some point?
Can't even go there, man. I thought Lamar did a great job of just hanging in there and, you know, and giving us a chance at the end.
And here was John Harbaugh.
And in the fans' defense, by the way, when you're down 20 points and you're seeing those read option things, and then he's rolling out, and then Joey Bosa's slamming him into the ground. And like, it's a playoff game.
And the
like,
ball's on the ground too much.
I mean, and I don't know if they were booing Lamar Jackson specifically. I mean, obviously he was playing horribly. But it's just that offense is tough to take when you're down 20 points. And it's amazing to me that they almost came back in that game and had a chance.
Had the ball.
To win it. It's amazing. And he fumbled again.
Here was Harbaugh. Were you thinking of pulling Jackson?
I can assure you we were considering, you know, putting Joe in the game and all that kind of stuff. That was part of the conversation. Certainly thought about it, certainly talked about it with everybody. And I can tell you this, it was everybody was on the same page with what we did, everybody, including Joe. So that's where it was at.
He said with the way things worked out, it was the right decision to keep him in there. Here was Harbaugh one more time. Boy, it certainly is the sounds like the end of Flacco in Baltimore.
Every ending is a beginning. So that's where we go from here. There are no endings, only beginnings. So let's see where it takes us all.
But he talked about Flacco. He'll support him wherever he plays next, wherever he goes. Joe Flacco, the greatest quarterback in Ravens franchise history.
Yeah.
But it's now Lamar Jackson's team. And he said he's planning personally on being back, had a conversation with the team, and he's not going anywhere. We'll see. So Saturday, Colts and Chiefs, and then the Rams and Cowboys Saturday night. Sunday, Chargers in New England, and then the Eagles take on the Saints. Nets beat the Bulls 117-100. They're now 20-21. They're 12-3 in their last 15 games. 28 points, 5 assists for D'Angelo Russell. Nets in Boston tonight. We'll have it on the Fan. And the Knicks visit Portland. Knicks won a game over the weekend. I'm sorry. They beat the Lakers
Friday night.
Because LeBron James is hurt and not playing.
Well, that's true.
I mean, you know, that is true. He just ruined, like, the Knicks season.
Lakers did lose to the T-Wolves 108-86. Minnesota, the blowout win. And then they blow out their team president, Tom Thibodeau. He was fired right after the game, they say. And according to the story, he had no idea it was coming.
And they might replace him with Hoiberg again, which is the same thing that happened to him in Chicago. I mean, he's going to hate this Fred Hoiberg after a while.
And the interim coach, I forget his name, he's 32. Whoever,
really?
Yes, I forget his name. He was an assistant coach. He's taken over in the short term, yeah. Over the weekend, Yankees and Zach Britton agree to a three-year deal, $39 million. The Indians trade relief pitcher Walker Lockett and an infielder Sam Haggerty to the Mets for Kevin Plawecki. Mets acquire J.D. Davis from the Astros for three minor leaguers as well. Not a good night for the Rangers or Devils. Rangers get shut out by the Coyotes 5-0. The Golden Knights beat the Devils 3-2 after Jersey took an early 2-0 lead.
I think the Rangers may right now, their last three games could be the worst team in the NHL.
In the last three games. Yeah, and Henrik gave up 5 goals on 32 shots, I think it was,
right,
last night.
So there's two guys at the top of this NHL draft that are stud players. The Rangers are 10th right now for the lottery.
What does Tankathon say?
That's what I'm looking at. They need to lose a lot more.
Blackhawks beat the Penguins 5-3, snapping Pittsburgh's 8-game winning streak.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.